we finally get to the title of the chapter, which is measurements. If we're going to actually describe something, we need to have a set of common terms used to describe it. So you think about it, you have, you know, how big is it, how much does it weigh, how massive is it, what color is it, how much light does it give off. For physicists, mostly we think about the MKS system, meter, kilogram, second, and amperes, current, which is another name for the unit for current. So we'll get there, but you might be used to the British system where weights are in pounds and lengths are in feet and miles. Time is in seconds. Okay. The weight in the British system is the pound, but mass is actually called a slug, and we don't tend to use the slug much. So we usually talk about weight, which is actually a force. In the metric system, that's actually a derived quantity. It comes from knowing the mass and knowing the acceleration due to gravity. Okay. I'm going to focus on the metric system because that's how we'll do most of our calculations in class. Yeah, we do have to do some calculations. I'd like to keep them to a minimum, but you will find that calculations are necessary to really show that you understand what's going on. So let's talk about the metric system. Okay. The unit of length is basically reference to the meter. Okay. It was originally defined in terms of the distance from the equator to the North Pole. It's been redefined a few times. And basically now it's defined related to how fast light travels. And in a sense, it's given by 1 over the speed of light in a vacuum. You know, they fudge some things, but that's basically, it's related to that. Okay. Now, we can talk about mass. Mass is measured in kilograms in the metric system. Okay, not grams. Grams is in the centimeter, gram, second system. And typically we don't do that. You may find it easier whenever you get units other than an MKSA to go ahead and convert right away to the MKSA system. It really depends on how used you are to working with these different systems. Okay, so the unit of mass is the kilogram. And again, like the meter, it's been refined how it's defined over time. And we've got a pretty good definition of it now. I'm not interested in you learning how they're referenced, only that this is what we actually use. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the difference between mass and weight at this point, because you are, if you're used to the British system, you're used to the pound. The pound is basically mass times acceleration. So it's how much there is of something times the acceleration due to gravity to get a force. We haven't really defined a force yet, but you sort of have an idea of what a force is. If you have to lift up a heavy mass, you know you have to exert more force than if you have to lift up a fairly light mass. And you also know that there's generally more of something if it's got a greater weight. Same is true of mass. It actually, you have to expend more energy to get that mass moving if it's a greater mass. Okay, so nothing has really changed there, except in the metric system we refine things and talk about really how much there actually is, independent of whether we're on Earth or somewhere out in space. So the mass of an object is the same on Earth or, for example, the Moon. The weight would be different because the acceleration due to gravity is different on the Earth than it is on the Moon. Something would weigh more on the Earth than the Moon, even if it's got the same amount of material. Okay. Now, the other one is common to both systems, and that's time. a second is a second. It used to be tied to the length of a solar day. Now it's tied to a vibration in a particular isotope of cesium. Again, I'm not too worried that you know that it's tied to cesium. I think that memorizing that kind of fact shows that you can memorize that kind of fact. It doesn't really tell me that you understand the universe is rational. So that maybe helps give you an idea of what I'm after. Now, I agree that we have to know a certain number of facts, because without a certain number of facts, you really can't get very far. But knowing the exact standard for time or mass or distance, it's not that important. Knowing that there is one, that's important. The last piece that we have to add for the so-called MKSA system is the ampere, which is electrical current. Now, I've often thought it ought to be charge, but technically it's defined in terms of current. Probably because it's actually easier to measure current than it is charge in common everyday sort of measurements. Now, there are a couple of other quantities that are considered fundamental, but you know, to me they're less fundamental. The Kelvin, which is temperature scale. Now that's got the same size little degree. That is, a 1 degree Kelvin change is the same as a 1 degree centigrade change, but it's offset so that 0 degrees Kelvin corresponds to no excess energy. Doesn't mean an object at zero Kelvin isn't doing some internal motion. It means that you can't stop it from doing that. There's no way to extract that energy from it. Now here's the thing. The temperature scale in Kelvins is directly proportional to the amount of energy that a certain quantity of mass has. So the Kelvin is considered fundamental, but it's fundamental in that it takes us from sort of our MKSA confined system to this other way of making measurements. Then there's the mole, which is the amount of a substance. So we have mass, how much is there? That's one way to say the amount. But because we know that you can break things up to a smallest amount before it's, and if you go smaller, it stops being itself anymore. So let's take oxygen molecules. You can take a large quantity of oxygen and arbitrarily divide it in two, and everybody's going to be pretty happy. And you can do that until you get to very few oxygen molecules. Eventually, you get to one oxygen molecule, and if you break it apart any further, it's no longer an oxygen molecule. It will behave very differently because it's now an oxygen atom. That would be, in biological terms, considered a free radical and usually not very nice in the body. So the mole tells us how many of something you have when you know what's the smallest you can break it up into. Well, it turns out for all of chemistry, the mole is great, because any time I talk about a molecule, there's a point where I can't break it up anymore. If I talk about the nucleus, I don't really talk about moles, but certainly if I break a nucleus apart, I can pull nucleons apart. Those are the neutrons and protons that make up the nucleus. I get to a point where I can't break the proton and neutron up without changing what those little individual objects are anymore. Okay, and then finally, there's the candela. Candela basically is luminous intensity. Think about how bright something is at a particular distance. And again, in a sense, that one could be scaled in terms of energy, but it's a very wavelength-dependent quantity. We're not going to worry too much about candela in this course. I will do my best to eliminate that one as a a quantity you've got to really worry about. All right, well, we don't want this lecture to go on too much further, so I'm going to talk about some things we might need to have to do. So, for instance, we might have some sort of derived quantities. For instance, volume might be described in liters or milliliters. So if you think about it, a liter is just a tenth of a meter times a tenth of a meter times a tenth of a meter, or 0.001 meters cubed, or it's 1,000 centimeters cubed. There are numerous ways to say it. We can talk about density. If you want to talk about the mass per unit volume, we can talk about some really large masses. We can use things like metric tons. We can combine quantities. So we already talked about volume. We could do speed, which is really length divided by time, so meters per second, if you want the British system, miles per hour. Okay. The best way to get used to these is to actually try to work a few problems, so I'll probably give you a few. You know, density is mass per unit volume, so kilograms per meter cubed. Very often, you know, I just said, you know, we want to maybe try to avoid grams and centimeters, but very often densities are quoted in grams and centimeters, well, centimeters cubed. Okay. The book talks about a hydrometer. We'll talk about that if we get to a problem using it. Okay. And then the next audio tape or audio file is going to be talking about some simple calculations and conversions. I'm just going to talk you through a few of the slides on conversions. Okay. In a sense, I'm just going to be reading them, but if your math is great, you probably don't want to listen to me. If your math is not so great, then maybe my talking through will help. I hope it does. So that you'll be able to click on that link in another slide or so. Thank you.